Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 11 lines from the top of Daf Mem. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Cheshbon, a calculation, She Regilim Perois Hamuch Sonois. The issue deals with fruits that have been in storage. How much do these fruits lahachsir, the cheshbon that they diminish, b'meshech hazman, in the course of time, when you have, let us say, fresh fruits that are stored for a long time, so there is a certain amount that they diminish, they contract, they dry up. Nafka mina, the issue here has practical ramifications. Lagabi, kamus haperos shal hashem lahachsi lamafkin. If you were appointed or hired as a bailey, as a shomer, someone to watch someone else's produce, and it was in your possession for a long time. So just imagine, without getting into specific quantities, you were given a basket full of fresh grains, filled to the rim. Well, fresh grains have a certain amount of freshness, dampness, liquid in them, and in the course of time it evaporates, it dries up, and hence the grains themselves contract, so that in the course of time what was a basket filled to the rim will be a basket that's no longer quite filled to the rim. The shomer who received the fresh produce, how is he to calculate what he is to return to the owner? Now, you might ask, what's the whole issue? Whatever he was given to watch, let him just return it. The Gemara will raise that question and hence reveal why a calculation is necessary. Now, the Mishnah. Hamafkid peros etzel chavero, one who entrusted fruits by his friend, Hare ze yotzi loy chisronis, the shomer, the one unto whom they were trusted, when he returns them, he can subtract the amount that has diminished. When I say subtract the amount, it means to calculate how much would have diminished in the course of time, and that's the amount he returns. And now the Mishnah gets into specific examples. Lechitim ul'oiras, when it comes to wheat and rice, tisha chatzoi kavin likur, 9 half kavin per kor. A kor is made of 30 saw, and one saw has within it 6 kavin, so that a full saw is 1/30 of a kor. 9 half kavin would be 4.5 kavin, just under 6 kavin, so you're dealing with an amount that's a little, it's under 1/30. If you prefer, you can say that being that a core has in it 30 saw, that would be 30 times 6 would be 180 kavin in a kor. 180 kavin is in effect 360 half kavin. So you're dealing with the number here is 9 over 360 is the statistic that we're dealing with. We continue in the Mishnah with further examples. L'sa'irim u'l'doichen, when it comes to being entrusted with barley or dochan, another one of the grains, tisha kavan l'kor. Here it's double the amount mentioned before. It's here at 9 full kavan per kor. So that if you were given a full kor to watch, when you return it, you're going to give back a kor minus 9 kav. 9 kav is, in effect, 1.5 saw. So would be 28.5 saw instead of 30 saws what you would be returning. L'kusmin u'lezera pishtan, these other kinds of seeds that you were given to watch. Kusmin, it's one of the types of grains. Zera pishtan is the flax seeds. They diminish quite a bit over the course of time. Shalosh sa'in l'kor, 3 saw per kor, like 1/10 less. Hakol l'fi hamida v'hakol l'fi hazman. These numbers are prorated per kor and per year. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes to disagree with what we just said. Hakol l'fi hamida. We just said hakol l'fi hamida meant the numbers given above is per kor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says v'chima ichpas lehen l'achborim. When it comes to the diminishing, he attributes the diminishing to the consumption on the part of mice. What difference does it make to the mice that are there? Follow Ochos Bain Meharbe Bain Mikimo. They eat the same amount whether there's a large amount stored up in your possession or a kimo, a small amount. Eloeno Yotzi Lochisronus El Kur Echo Bilvad. The amount that you will subtract in giving back to the owner is an amount that relates to one kor. So whether you're given one kor to watch or 50 kor to watch, it's the same amount, the same total amount that you will subtract. In other words, it's not prorated per kor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hoisa mida meruba, eino motzi lo chisronis, mipnei she moisirois. If you were entrusted with a large amount initially, so then the subtraction that we alluded to before is not to take place. And Rashi elaborates on this, and this has to do with the fact that even though there may be contraction over the course of time, there is expansion as a result of weather conditions, seasonal considerations. Rashi, we look at Rashi, im hoisa mida meruba. Rashi, you'll notice, just a couple lines down from where we are right now. Shehifkid etzlo harbe. The owner entrusted a large amount. If the Gemara meforish asor kurin, the Gemara says that the large amount is 10 kur. Lo yotzi lo chisronos. Then the subtraction, the entitlement that the shomer has to give back less, doesn't apply. They shehem mosiros, they add, they expand. Shebiyos hagorim kishemafkid achitim yaveshim. When the initial entrusting takes place, it takes place during the granary season. The granary season is a point at which the grains have dried out. They were left in the fields in the open sun during the hot summer season, and they dried out. Uvimosek shomim kishemachzir, and a few months later, when the shomer returns them in the winter season, the rainy season, novchos, they swell, so that between the time you initially receive them and the time you're going to return them, ubachilas achborim eino nechsorin kol kach l'chol kur v'kur. As far as the amount the mice consume, it's not that much per kur. The kulihai lo achli achborim me'asora kurin. How they don't eat that much when it comes to a large amount that was entrusted. If you were entrusted 10 kor, So the amount that the mice may have diminished is compensated for by the seasonal expansion. Hilkoch mefichosoi mishlemes chisorna amagia nishnei kur mishloisha shachbor mochlim. The swelling that is accounted for by the seasonal consideration will certainly compensate for the amount that the mice would have eaten, would have consumed from two or three kor. Now, the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a practical type question. The Mishnah said that when it comes to orez, there will be diminishing of 9 half kav per kor. The Gemara asks, orez tuva chaser. The orez diminishes more than the number given in the Mishnah. Oma Rabo, Barba Chan Omer of Yochanan, Ba'orez Kolof Shanu. The Mishnah spoke about peeled rice. Once the peel is removed from the rice, so then the amount that they diminish will be reduced. So that when the Gemara asked the question, it was asking and had in mind unpeeled rice, and that the presence of the peel represents a significant amount of diminishing of the mass when, as I said, when left on. But once that's removed, and once it was removed, it was then entrusted, so then the amount or the rate of diminishing is like we saw in the Mishnah. L'kusman l'zera pishtan gimel sa'in l'kuor Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chiya, zera pishtan begivoylin shanu. The pishtan seed that was referred to in the Mishnah, that we saw relatively speaking, a high amount of diminishing. That's because the pishtan seed that was entrusted along with its givoilin, along with its stems, and that is what diminishes. The stem dries up and falls off. The wind will blow it away, and hence the original quantity is significantly reduced. As we saw in the Mishnah, when it came to Zera Pishtan, we saw a 10% diminishing, 3 saw per kor. If, however, pure Pishtan seeds, flax seed was entrusted, the diminishing would be much less significant. So the Mishnah, the Gemara goes on to say, Tanya Nami Hoch, we have a brisa that supports what Reb Chiya taught. It says, L'kusman u'lezera pishtan b'givoylin u'le'uriz shenu koluf shalosh so'in l'kur. We dashed underline b'givoylin, because that's the point that Reb Chiya mentioned, that when it's entrusted with the givoylin, so the diminishing rate will be 3 sa'ah less per kor. Hakol l'fi amida v'chulei tana v'chein kein l'chol kor v'kor v'chein l'chol shana v'shana. We explained this already when we learned the Mishnah. Here is where Rashi got his information from, that the diminishing rates mentioned in the Mishnah by the Tanakhama, by the first opinion, were per kor and also per year. Omer Rav Yochanan ben Nuri v'chulei. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri said there's a type of a static reduction. It's not prorated, and it's not prorated per kor, because the mice will eat whatever they need to eat to fill themselves up, regardless of how many kor were initially entrusted. Tanya Omru lo Rav Yochanan. The rabbis, however, responded to Rav Yochanan and say that the diminishing is not a function of merely the mice. Harbe oivdois mehen, harbe mispazros mehen. Many get lost over the course of the time. There's a certain amount that gets lost, a certain amount that scatters, that is all part of the normal, events that transpire with regard to entrusted grains. So That's what the Mishnah had in mind when it was speaking of the per kur diminishing. Tana b'amed v'mumurim she'ir v'nim peroisav. So here we have another Tanaic source that elaborates on the Mishnah. It says that the teaching of the Mishnah with the amount that you can subtract is when you mixed the entrusted grains with your own personal grains. Aval yichid l'keren zavis, if you identify and isolated the point or the place that the grains would be guarded, would be under your watch. Yichid, you specified a keren, a corner, a keren zavis, a corner of your house, and you said to the owner, put your grains over here, and they remain isolated, not mixed with your own grains. Then Oimer Loi Hare Shelchal Lefanecho. Then you tell the owner when he comes to take it back, go to there they are. Take what you initially take your things here. Yours is in front of you, literally. There's no, you don't have to get involved with any calculations. The Gemara asks, "V'chi irvan imperois of my have?" Even if you did mix them with your own fruits, why do you still have to have a whole schedule of reduction, as mentioned in the Mishnah? Lechsi l'didei kamo havion. If you mix them with your own fruits, so if you were, let us say, given 10 quarts of produce, and you had of your own 10 quarts of your own, so that you knew there was a total of 20 quarts, and now you have the total amount that exists now is 20 quarts minus the diminishing, and he gave you 10 quarts, so whatever amount is less right now than was originally, because there was diminishing, so you take half the diminished amount and subtract it from the 10 quarts that he gave you and give that back. Once again, what do you need to have a rate of diminishing for? Just by knowing the combined quantity and how much it has decreased since it's the original amount, you would then make a proportionate deduction. The Gemara responds, you did mix it with you mixed the entrusted produce with your own, but also the mistapik mehen, you were drawing from your own, for your own personal use, you were drawing from it. So you can't, just knowing the original quantity doesn't help, because you drew from it in the meantime. So simply calculate how much you drew between the time they were entrusted and mixed with your own produce and now the time of return, and you know how much you drew from it, and return accordingly. The Gemara answers, Delo yoda kamo istapek. You don't know how much you drew from it. So, being that you entrusted produce was mixed with your own, and your own has been lessened simply because by the fact you were using, you were drawing from your own. So the issue of noting a total quantity and making a prorated deduction is not going to help. So all you have to work with is how much were you originally given, and how much diminishes over the course of time, like we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Hoysa Midam Ruba. Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that if the quantity entrusted was a large quantity, and Rashi elaborated was a large quantity entrusted in the granary season, the dry season, when the grains were dried, and they would be returned in the wet season, a time during which they would expand because of the moisture in the atmosphere, you don't need to make any reduction. How much is called a large quantity? Omar Rabba Barbachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Asora Kurin, 10 Kur. Tanya Nami Hochiani, Brisa supports this, a Tanaic source, Kamomid Ruba, Asora Kurin. Toni Tano Kame Dorav Nachman. Someone taught a Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Nachman as follows. When do we account for the reduced amount? When is the shomer entitled to give back less? Shemodad loy mitoch gorno, vihichsir loy mitoch gorno. When the original amount was, let's say, measured out to the shomer using the goren measuring device, measuring rate, the goren measuring, say, rate was larger than the standard homeowner measuring rate. For argument's sake, you have measures that may have had the same name, but physically speaking, the goren device that was called, we'll say, a quart, a goren quart, was larger than a homeowner's quart. So that the idea mentioned in the Mishnah that if, let us say, you were entrusted with 10 quarts of produce, and now it comes to returning, that's assuming that it's the same, that you're using the same kind of measuring unit that you were originally entrusted with. Aval, modad lo mitoch gorno, you were entrusted with the produce and measured out to you, the shomer, using the large utensil. Vehichsu lo mitoch beso, now it comes to your returning it, and you're returning it using the household measuring unit. Eino yotzi loy chisrenes b'nei shemosiros. There's no room now for giving less, for reducing. Because if you were, let us say, it was entrusted to you, the shomer, 10 large quarts, and there's natural reduction, as we mentioned before, but you're going to give back, you're going to measure back to the owner using 10 small quart units, they had better be 10 full small quart units, because the difference in size of the unit will certainly compensate for the diminishing. And that's what Mitnei Shemosiros refers to in this context. Omar Lei, so Rav Nachman, upon hearing this source, said, V'chi b'shuftani askinan, are we dealing with fools? Diyavi b'kaila rabba, that measure, that give. Yavi is give, b'kaila is a measure, rabba, a large measure. V'shakli b'kaila zuta, and will take back using a small measure. Dilma, maybe what you mean is bimois hagurin koamras, as follows. Bimois hagurin has to do with the season, the grain season, the granary season, as follows. Bamed mamumurim shemodad lo bimois hagurin v'ichsilo bimois hagurin, where the initial entrusting was done during the granary season, when they are, it's the end of the summer season, when the grains are dried out, and the return is in the same type of season, when the grains are dried out. Avol modad lo bimois hagurin, if they were measured out in the granary season, when the seeds are essentially, the grain is contracted, v'hichsu lo bimois hagshamim, and the return is made in the rainy, moist, damp season, Eino yotzi loy chisoran, then there is no subtraction or diminishing that the, we'll say, the shomer is entitled to. the neshem osiros, because the grains expand. And as we explained earlier, so you were entrusted, as you, the Bailey, were entrusted with dry grains. There may very well be diminishing in the course of time, but if you're returning it in the moist season, so whatever amount of grains has been diminished by mice or winds, the grains that remain themselves, they have expanded. And their expansion will compensate for the loss in, let's say, in numbers of grains. So you have here a type of quantity-quality situation, where though in quantity the number of grains has become diminished, but the remaining individual grains, quality-wise, are larger. Omar Le Rav Popo Le Abaye. In Cain, if that is what happens, in other words, if there is such a thing as grain expansion, and you were entrusted, let us say, with a sealed vessel containing grains in the dry season, and it was a covered vessel, and they'll say covered but somewhat, let's say, slightly porous, so that moisture could be absorbed. Lifka kada, the kad is the vessel, should crack because of the expansion of the grains that are contained therein. So the Gemara says, you're right, there was such an incident where a vessel that was sealed had been entrusted in the hot season, and the rainy season arrived, upoka kada, and the kad split. Iboy Esema, another approach is that on the one hand there is moisture, but the Gemara says Mishum Itzitza, because of the tightness, the density in which the grains were packed into the vessel, that prevented the moisture from getting into the center, the core of those entrusted grains. And hence, the vessel did not crack. The itzitzah, the density, prevented the moisture from having its effect of causing grain expansion. The Mishnah. We continue with examples of diminishing, and here we will feature liquids. Yoytzi loy Shtus liayin, Rabbi Yudomer Chaimish. If you were entrusted with wine, in the course of time, if you had been entrusted a certain amount of wine, when it comes to the return, you can return 1/6 less. Rashi says that the barrels will absorb over that course of time a sixth of the wine that you were initially entrusted with. Rabbi Yehuda says 1/5. Yotzi lo shlosha lugin shemen lemea. If you were entrusted with 100 lug, lug is another measure, a liquid measure. If you were entrusted with 100 lug, so you will be able to return 97. It was reduce 3 lug per 100. Now that 3 lug diminishing is accounted for lug umechza shmorim, lug umechza bela. In the production of olive oil, olives naturally are crushed and ground down and squeezed, and there's a certain amount of debris that we call them shmorim, lees, that are part of the, we'll call the freshly pressed olives, the freshly pressed olive oil. So per 100 lug, 1.5, that's 1.5% is shmorim, is the debris, the lees. Shmorim, we'll see later in the course of the Gemara, the Shmorim settled to the bottom. And there's also when you pour the oil into a new barrel, the barrel itself will absorb 1.5%. So 1.5% will be when it comes to eventually returning the oil will be clearer, purer than that which you were entrusted, simply because of the fact that the lees settle to the bottom. So when you're returning the oil, you're returning pure oil. And we also mentioned the absorption of the barrels. So if you were entrusted with 100 lug, you can give back to the owner 97 lug. And you're giving back to him, in effect, what he gave to you. Im hoya shemen mezukok eino yotzi lo shmor. If you were entrusted with pure, refined oil, then you receive oil that had no shmorim in it. So you can't make that shmorim reduction. Im hoyu kantanim yishonim, if the vessels in which you stored the entrusted oil were old barrels. Old barrels mean that the walls of that barrel had already become, we'll say, saturated, filled, completely absorbed with oil, so that the new oil that you're pouring in is not going to, no percentage of the new oil will be further absorbed into the walls. So that if they were kankanim yishanim, old vessels, then you're not going to subtract the 1.5% because of absorption. Let me read that again. Im hoyu kantanim yishanim, eino yotzi lo bela. So that if you have a situation where pure oil was entrusted and poured into old barrels, so you don't have the shmorim reduction, nor do you have the bela, the absorption reduction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ha-moicher shemen mezukok l'chavero kol yemois ashona. The laws that we just discussed in the context of a Bailey and his return to original owner apply, says Rabbi Yehuda, to the case of sales of oil over during the year. Areze mikabel lov lug umechza shmorim lemea. The owner, or I should say the customer, when he, let us say, comes into a shop and pays for 100 lug. And just, we'll work with the assumption that we're dealing with commercial transactions of oil where no specific conditions were stated. No specific conditions were stated concerning, let's say, oil quality. I want to buy from you specifically pure oil. So, assuming for the time being that we're dealing with a purchase of oil, we call it in the stam, the unqualified fashion, the customer will pay for 100 lug, and the seller, the oil vendor, is allowed to measure out 98.5 lug. We'll just assume for right now that he is pouring out, he is measuring out for him pure oil. So when the customer came in saying, I want 100 lug, he was in effect paying for 100 lug of unrefined oil. If the vendor is giving him refined oil, the vendor has a right to measure out 98.5 lug. Let us take a look at the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines, three lines before they get wide. Af ha-moicher v'chulei. Even Rabbi Yehuda extended the dinim that we mentioned, the laws, to the case of sales. Kishem shamru b'mafkid kein omru b'moicher. As was said by the entrusted oil, we say too in the case of oil sales. Shamoicher shemen l'chavero v'noisei lo mitoy chaviyosov. When a sale of oil is taking place and he's providing oil from within his barrels, shumistapek tamid v'eino v'humezukak. The sale a bulk sale is transacted, and the supplying of the oil is on a continual basis. In other words, if you bought 100 lug, you didn't take delivery of 100 lug, but you took delivery each time a fraction of that amount until the total amount was eventually delivered. And you are receiving from the vendor mezuka, pure oil. Hare alokeach mekabalov lifchoisloi lugu mechza machmas shmorim. The lokeach understands, the purchaser understands, that he's going to be getting a 1.5 lug less because of the shmorim. It is my understanding that since the oil is being supplied over the course of time, during that time passage, the lees of the wine that you purchased but didn't take full delivery, the lees are settling in the meantime. So you're getting, when you come for your, say, purchase installments, you're getting pure oil. So that when you initially purchased the 100 lug, you were purchasing 100 lug of unrefined oil. When the delivery is made, you're receiving pure oil, so that the vendor is entitled to provide a total of 98.5 lug. Let us turn now to the Gemara. Velo pligi, the Tanakama, the first opinion that said 1/6 reduction for wine, and Reb Yehuda, who said 1/5 reduction, are not arguing. The Asrei Demor in the Tanakama's locale. Let me just read that phrase again from the beginning of the Gemara. Velo pligi, mor ki asrei or mor ki asrei, means each opinion is in accordance with the practice in their respective communities. The Asrei Demor in the Asrei, in the place of the Tanakama, the first opinion, chafu bekira velo mayetz tfei. The barrels of wine are lined with wax, so that they don't absorb as much. Basri Demor, chafu bekufro mayetz tfei. In Reb Yehuda's locale, the barrels were lined with kufra, a pitch, zephis in Hebrew. That's more absorbent than wax, and therefore there's going to be more absorbed into the barrel, and hence, according to Buda, the reduction amount that the shomer benefits from is greater. Iboy sema mishum gargishta. Another approach to explain the difference in statistics, and at the same time there is no argument between them, is because the barrels were made of, we'll say, clay barrels, and the earth used in making them has different levels of absorbency due to earth found in different locations. Ha mitzotfei, v'ha lo mitzotfei. In Reb Yehuda's locale, the dirt that was used to manufacture the barrels was a high, more absorbent type of dirt. The Gemara continues with an independent point. Be'asrei de Rav Yehuda, in the town of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda here is an Amora, not to be confused with the Tana that we had been making reference to just before, the Tana Reb Yehuda in the Mishnah. So this is an Amora, and in his locale, and here we're going to deal with a piece of Gemara that deals with sales and profit levels in wine transactions. In Reb Yehuda's community, Ramu Arboim Vitamni Kuzi Bedona, there were 48 Kuzi. Kuzi is a measure, it's a small measure. there would be 48 kuzi of wine per barrel, donna, per barrel. So the barrels in Rav Yehuda's locale contained 48 kuzi. Azil donna b'shisa zuzip. Each barrel, the price of the barrel, if you were, let us say, a retailer, and you had to buy a barrel of wine in Rav Yehuda's community, you would buy from the wine producer a barrel and pay 6 zuz. So one donna, one barrel, which has 48 kuzi in it, 6 zuz. How much would one zuz account for? Well, 1/6 of 48. That's 8. 8 kuzi per zuz. We mentioned that the barrel would be bought by a retailer. You'd buy it from a wholesaler. Now, as a retailer, you're going to be selling from the barrel smaller quantities. So that with the following, Paris reviewed a shisa bezuza. The Rashi at the bottom line tells us that Nasir Yehuda Chenvoni. Rav Yehuda became a Chenvoni. Chenvoni is called the wine retailer, and he's selling from the barrels that he's bought. He's selling units of six kuzi per zuz. So that you can see there's a profit margin. We haven't reached the end of the actual profit yet. There's more information that comes forth, but in the meantime, we mentioned he would pay, in effect, I'm giving you now prorated statistics. One zuz would get 8 kuzi. That's the wholesale rate. You would get, and in the retail rate, one zuz would get you only 6 kuzi. So that Rav Yehuda was able to profit at this point, we haven't finished though, was able to profit 2 kuzi per zuz. That means he would have paid with one zuz and received 8 kuz. He paid out one zuz and got 8 kuz. He would receive one zuz and have to give over only 6 kuz. He'd be left with 2 kuzi of wine as his profit. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. When looking at the total amount, though, the original barrel contained 48 kuz. When Rav Yehuda would sell the wine, he would be selling wine after it got absorbed into the barrels. We'll see more about this later. Dal talsin v'shisa b'shisa. That means subtract 36 at the six kuzi per zuz rate. That means, in exchange for the sale of 36 kuz, Rabbi Yehuda would have covered his original costs. If he's selling 36 kuz of wine, and each group of 6, he would get a zuz. After the sale of 36 kuzi, he would have 6 zuz. 6 zuz is the amount he paid for the original barrel of 48. Poshule tresar, he would be left with, after covering his initial costs and selling 36 kuzi, there would be left 12 kuzi in his barrel. Now, you would say that with that 12 kuzi, he can now continue selling and make money, make a profit. However, in reality, he doesn't have 12 kuz to profit with. Dal tamni you have to take off 8 kuz shtusi. Shtusi is a sixth. Do you remember in the Mishnah we spoke about the wine reduction? There's a sixth wine, a sixth reduction because of the absorption in barrel walls. So from 48, a sixth of 48 is 8 kuz. We just had mentioned before that it seemed that he had 12 kuz to profit with, but of the original 48, really 8 are lost in absorption. Poshu luhu arbo'o. So instead of 12 kuz being left for Abuda, it really has 4 kuz left for Abuda to profit with. Now, 4 kuz is worth 2/3 of a zuz. If 6 kuz is 1 zuz, so 4 being 2/3 of 6, it's 2/3 of a zuz. So he has, that is the amount that he has to profit. The Gemara asks, V'omar Shmuel, within the laws of, we'll say, there are laws that govern profit margins. They're called Oinoa. Oinoa has to do with the realm of overcharging. The Gemara in the fourth parak of our Masichta, Parak Hazov, deals with this topic quite extensively. The halachic, we'll say, limitation on profit is 1/6. So the Gemara asks, if Rabbi Yehuda paid on the wholesale level 6 kuz for the barrel, he would be entitled to profit, let's say, another zuz, is a 1 zuz more than the 6 he paid. That's 1/6 profit margin. What is he profiting right now? Only 2/3 of a zuz. So the Gemara asks, did Shmuel not say hamistaker, one who profits, al yistaker yoyser al shtus, one should not profit more than 1/6, but 1/6 he is entitled to, and by having just having 4 kuzi left in the barrel, after subtracting the absorption amount, he's profiting only 2/3 of a zuz. Isn't he entitled to profit more? The Gemara answers, Ika Gufi Ushmaraya. When we said that Rabbi Yehuda paid 6 zuz for a barrel containing 48 kuzi, not only did the 6 zuz cover the 48 kuzi, but it also covered the barrel. So he's, after he finishes selling, he's left with the barrel as well. That has value. Well, the Gemara asks, Yihachi Nafish Leitfei Mishtus. So if you consider the value of the barrel as well, the 4 kuzi of wine that he can sell and profit 2/3 of a zuz, plus the value of the barrel that remains with him, that's more than a 6th. The Gemara answers, but he has additional expenses that we didn't mention. Ika tirchaya udmei barzenaisa. There is his own labor costs, and there is the advertising cost. The barzenaisa, well, simply leaving a simple translation, is advertising costs. So, balances out the additional profit that we had alluded to before. Im hoya shemen mezukok eino yotzi lo shmorim, and im hoyu hakankanim yishonim eino motzi lo bela. We mentioned that if the oil that was entrusted in old vessels, so there's not going to be any absorption. The Gemara asks, "V'ha yefsha b'dolo bola?" It's impossible that there isn't some absorption. Amar Rav Nachman be mezupofim shanu. Rav Nachman says the Mishnah that said if they were old vessels, there is no absorption reduction, is because we're dealing with mizupafen. They were lined. And being that the barrels were lined, there would be no absorption. Abayama filu tema shelo b'mizupafen. Heva the tone. Even if you say they weren't lined, but once a barrel becomes tone, literally is loaded up, it means once a barrel has absorbed in its walls whatever it's absorbed as a result of being an old barrel in constant use, it reaches we'll call it a saturation point, and additional oil that's poured in will not be absorbed any further. Once it's absorbed, it's absorbed, and hence the Mishnah's din remains. Of if the shomer was using to store the oil old, fully absorbed, fully saturated walls, barrels, when he returns the oil, he's going to have to return the full amount that he was entrusted with, assuming that he was entrusted with pure oil and that was then stored in old, saturated barrels. Rabbi Omer, af ha-moicher shemen mezukok l'chavero kol yemois ha-shonop, harei ze mikabel olav lug u-mechza shmorim l'mea. Rabbi Yehuda said that in the case of commercial transactions, the customer understands that he's going to get back 1.5% less than he originally paid for. And we explain this fairly elaborately in the Mishnah. The topic heading that you see on the side in the margin, combined with a mivneh, structural note, features a diamond marking. And in your Gemara text, if you allow your eye to scan ahead, you will notice Abaye and Rav Papa are highlighted with this marking. In the Gemara, we will see a machlokes Abayev and Rav Papa. I'm reading from our note on the side. Behavonas Rav Yehuda v'Rabbanan, in understanding the Tanoim in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda spoke explicitly about sales and, we'll say, subtraction rates, and it's subsumed that the Rabbanan disagree. Rav Yehuda is the one that raised the issue of sales, thereby reflecting that there's another opinion, the opinion of the Tanakama, the Rabbonon, who would disagree. So Abaye and Rav Papa, who are Amoroyim, they have an opposite approach to explaining the Machlokes Tanoim. So we will see a machlokes Abaye and Rav Papa in the understanding of the opinions of Rav Yehuda and the Rabbana. Be'inyan ha-moicher shemen l'chavero stam, regarding unqualified, unstipulated oil sales, ba'eis shehu mezukok, when the wine that's being sold happens to be refined wine, ha'im mutur lo la-moicher. Is it allowed for the seller la'arev levabel shmorim hamishukois? Can he shake up the barrel, thereby causing the lees that had sunk, settled to the bottom, to now get mixed up? Shiachsu visarvu v'yetsu im hashemen besoch hamida. Now, when he's pouring out the oil to the customer, He's not pouring out pure oil. Part of the quantity that he's pouring out to the customer are shmorim, are lees. Is that something the vendor is allowed to do? Can he mix up the oil and sell it in a now unpure state? Now the Gemara. Omar Abaye, kishetimtze loimar L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, when you analyze the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, when you try to find how far can we go with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, the result would be mutter la'arev shmorim. a vendor in selling oil without qualification, without stipulations, would be allowed to shake up the barrel and pour out the wine, the oil with the lees in it. L'divrei chachomim asur la'arev shmorim, and according to the chachomim, that would be prohibited. As we go on in the Gemara, you can see we have a double underline marking highlighting the two points, or the reference to the two opinions that Abayah just made. So you have L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda follows, and you go down another approximately 12 lines in the Gemara. You'll see at the end of the line another double underline, L'divrei Chachamim. Before we go into the Gemara, though, let us glance at the Rashi. Mutar L'arev Shmorim. More or less across from where we are. Hamoicher Shemen L'chavero Stam Ba'eish Shem Zukok. A person who sells oil in an unstipulated fashion when the oil happens to be mezukok, pure. Sheshaku v'shaktu shmorov. The shmorim, the debris, the lees, have since settled. Mutar lo la'arev v'lobabel shmorim ha'meshukoyim shi'achsu v'sarvu v'yetsu im Hashem v'sachamida. When he comes to sell to the customer, he can shake up the barrel and have the oil come out mixed together with its lees. How do we see that in Rabbi Yehuda? We'll wait for the Gemara. The next Rashi, Osu L'arev Shmorim, Shebecheskas Mezukok Lokhei Mimenu V'zeh Mekalkalo. According to the Chachomim, the customer is expecting to have pure oil. In other words, the oil right now happens to be pure. The lees have settled to the bottom. The customer is expecting to get pure oil. Your shaking it up ruins it. Now we go back to the Gemara. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda mutar la'arev shmorim v'hainu taimo demekabel. Since the owner, the vendor, has the right to mix up the oil, mix it, shake it, causing the shmorim to get mixed in with the oil, this is the reason that the customer has to accept when the oil is being sold and delivered in, we said delivered in installments, and the vendor does not shake up the barrel. As a result of the vendor not shaking up the barrel, the vendor has a right to enjoy the subtraction. In other words, 100 lug are paid for, and in the course of time, 98 and a half lug will be delivered. The omarle, the vendor, can say to the customer, "E boy la ruviloch, if I wanted to, I could have mixed it up, and of course mixed it up and then deliver the full 100 lug." But the full 100 lug would be mixed in it is our 1.5 lug of shmorim. And the vendor says, if I wanted to mix it up, mi lo arvi loch, could I not have in fact mixed it up? Hashto nami kobil. So now too that I haven't mixed it up, you'll be receiving 98.5 lug of pure oil. And Kabil, take another 1.5 lug of shmorim. That means hashtanami Kabil. I want to explain this in a fairly literal fashion, which will help us understand the continuation of the Gemara. Now that I haven't mixed it up, take 1.5 lug of shmorim. So I'll deliver to you 98.5 lug of pure oil, and take the 1.5 lug of shmorim that I did not mix in when I was delivering the wine to you in the installments. We have a volcano shape, trapezoid. It's explained on the side. These trapezoids introduce nisyonos mitzah halokeach. These are attempts on the part of the customer, litoin, to make claims neged shitas rebuta, against rebuta in the Mishnah, claims that would, let's say, run counter to what rebuta rules, shemagia lo mea lug shlemim shel shemen, that he, the customer, expects 100, not 98.5, but 100 lug of oil, klomar, Bali hanikui shalugu mechza, without subtracting the 1.5 lug that we've mentioned. So now the Gemara continues. Vele mole, let the customer claim. E arvis le have mizdabinli. If when you were selling me the oil you had mixed it up, so I could then sell that. We'll assume for right now that the lokeach is himself a retailer who was buying from a wholesaler. So the lokeach, the purchaser, who in this case is a retailer, could say, listen, if you would have mixed up the oil when you were selling it to me, so I could have sold it, the oil, mixed the unrefined oil. Hashta, but now that you didn't sell it to me that way, but you sold me pure oil, And you're now telling me take 1.5 lug of lees. Now my avid le lichude. What am I going to do with lichude means by itself 1.5 lug of pure lees. Lo mizdavinli. I can't sell them. Let us look together at the Tosfos, third Tosfos from the top. Lichude lo mizdavin. Vim tomar. You might ask still. Let the vendor, let the wholesaler give to this purchaser, to this retailer, 1.5 lug of lees. Shiarev adayin v'imkar. Let him take the 1.5 lug of lees, mix it with the pure oil that he received, and sell it that way. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers, demayri masnisin afilu ein hashemen be'ein. Shalokhoi ma'at ma'at umachroi ayochlo. We're talking about a case like we mentioned earlier, that the oil that the retailer bought is no longer around. He was receiving it in small amounts, in installments, and he has since sold it, or he ate it, he consumed it himself. So the suggestion that Tosfos raised, let the wholesaler give him, the retailer, 1.5 lug of shmorim, and let the retailer thereby mix it in with the oil that he bought, but it's not around anymore. The Gemara now continues. We left off with the purchaser, with the retailer, saying to the wholesaler, why should I receive only 98.5 lug? Listen, you know, you if you would have mixed it up, fine, but you didn't. So the Gemara says, "Bebal habayis askinon." The purchaser is a balabayis, is a homeowner, private individual. Denicha le betzila. He prefers. The refined mezukak, pure oil, and therefore the suggested claim that the lokeach could have made, that if you would have mixed in the lees and that would have been fine, I could have sold it, doesn't apply here because we're dealing with a private homeowner. The more continues though, v'le mole, why couldn't the customer say, midolo arvis li achuli achlis li, from the fact that you didn't shake up the barrel, you didn't mix it in, you thereby were moichel to me. In other words, you were forgiving to me that amount, and I paid for 100 lug. I expect to get 100 lug, not 98.5 lug. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei deles le mechila. Rabbi Yehuda, in developing his opinion, is consistent with what he said elsewhere, that he doesn't hold from this concept of mechila, of renunciation, as will become clear in the example. This not. Mochar lo esatzemet, lo mochar lo esaboka. If a person bought a tzemet is a brace that holds animals together for the purpose of plowing. Rashi says, tzemet ha'oil, shumutol al shnei ashvarim umitzmidom. It's a yoke that is placed upon animals, two oxen, to hold them together. That's called the tzemet. When a tzemet is sold, that does not include the animals. Lo mochar lo esaboker. And conversely, mochar lo esaboker, if a person buys animals, lo mochar lo esatzemet. The tzemet is not included in the deal. Rabbi Yehuda omer hadomim modian. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, you look at the money that was paid, ketzad. How do we understand that? Omar lo mechor li tzimdecha b'masayim zuz. Customer comes in and says, sell me your tzemed for 200 zuz. Hadavar yodua she'ein hatzemed b'masayim zuz. It's known that a tzemed is worth much less. It doesn't cost 200 zuz. The purchaser who laid out 200 zuz was not renouncing the balance of the money in favor of the seller, but rather anticipated getting more, not just the tzemet, not just the brace itself. So that you see, Shita's Rabbi Yehuda is that he doesn't hold from mechila, he doesn't hold from this, we'll say, assumed renouncing. The customer does not renounce the balance of the money that he paid. The Chachomim disagree and say the amount paid doesn't prove what the customer had in mind. So if the customer came in asking for a tzemet, he paid a lot of money, the customer, was simply moichel on the balance. So up till now, we've explained Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And just to review, Abaye says that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the customer is to accept the delivery of 1.5% less than the amount he originally paid for, because of the delivery of oil in its pure state, accounts for the lees that have since settled. And as a result, the main point that Abai was making was, according to Buda, the vendor could have mixed up the oil and sold it together with the shmorim. L'divrei Chachamim, the Chachamim disagree. They said, now we didn't see this in the words of the Mishnah Sub, but the fact that Buda appears, we then assume that the Chachamim disagree, that if you paid for 100 lug of oil, you can demand 100 lug of oil. And therefore, the conclusion with regard to the chomim is, osur la'arev shmorim. You can't mix in the shmorim. V'hainu taimo delo mekabel. And the following is the reason that the customer does not have to accept 1.5 lug of pure shmorim. The yomar lei, he can say, "E boyes laruve mihavi shoriloch." If the customer can say to the vendor, "If you wanted to mix them up, would you have been allowed to?" No, hashtonami lo makbilno. Right now, I'm not going to accept them either. Omar le Rav Popo le Abaye. Adarabo ipcho mistabro. Rav Popo addresses Abaye and says, to the contrary, the opposite is most logical. L'divrei Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, muter la'arev shmorim. The seller, the vendor, would be allowed to mix the lees, mix the oil with its lees. V'hainu taimo delo mekabel. And it's for the following reason that the customer does not accept the 1.5 lug per hundred of shmorim. The omale, the lokeach says midalo arvisli, from the fact that you did not mix them, achuli achlisli, you decided to renounce them in my favor. So just to go over the point once again, according to Rav Papa's view of the Chachomim, in theory, the vendor could have mixed the lees and not sold him the oil as pure. From the fact that he didn't take advantage of that option, the customer says, you know, you renounced them in my favor, and hence I expect a delivery of a full 100 lug of pure oil. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda asur la'arev shmorim. According to Rav Papa, Rabbi Yehuda would not have allowed the vendor in the first place to mix the lees. V'hainu taima d'mekabel, and it's because of this that the customer has to accept 1.5 lug of shmorim. The omar lay, the mocher, the vendor says, "Iboi la'aruvi lo shori li la'aruvi loch." If I wanted to mix them, the lees, with the oil with the lees, I would not have been allowed. Kabuli lo mekablis. Are you not going to accept the lees? And you're going to expect 100 lug of pure oil to be sold to you? Zavun vizavin tagro ikri. One who, this is an expression that you find in, it's a saying, Zavun Vizavin Tagrikri, means someone who buys and sells for the same price, which you call him a merchant. A merchant has to make a profit. So that if I paid initially, I the wholesaler, the vendor, paid, let's just say $100 for 100 lug of oil, and the 100 lug of oil that I bought happened to have lees mixed in, it was 100 lug of non-pure oil, are you expecting me then to sell you 100 lug of oil? Where will be for $100, where will there be any profit for me? Therefore, you, I paid $100 for the 100 lug of oil. You have to accept for $100 98.5 lug of oil. The extra lug and a half will be my profit. Tana, echad halokeach ve'echad hamafkid lepkotim. Here we have a Tanaic source that's vague. Before we go on, let us take a look at the side of the Gemara, the margin, where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Haim al halokeach shemen, one who buys oil, lekabelas hapkotim, does he have to accept the pekotim? We spoke earlier about shmorim, pekotim are different. V'heim psoilus hagarinim hatsofim al panei hashemen. This is scum that floats on the top of oil. It's another form of debris, but it floats on the top of oil as opposed to the shmorim that sinks to the bottom. The house shape that you see following represents, as we explain on the side under the Mivneh heading, Shlovim Behavonas Hamoker. These are stages in trying to understand the source. It said, Echad halekeach ve'echad hamafkid lipkotim. So now, the Gemara. My lipkotim. What do you mean by the lokeach and the mafkid with regard to pkotim? Ilema, if you were to think, Hechi de lokeach lo mekabel pkotim, just like the purchaser doesn't have to accept the pkotim, mafkid nami lo mekabel pkotim, the owner who entrusted oil doesn't have to accept the pkotim. Let the shomer, let the bailey say to the owner, Pekotcha my avidluhu, what am I going to do with your debris? In other words, if you trusted oil to me with the debris, you have to accept it back with it. What am I going to do with it? Elo, rather, kihechi de mafkid mekabel pkotim, just like the owner, the one who entrusted the oil, gets back his oil with the pekotim. Lekeach nami mekabel pkotim. The purchaser is also to accept the oil that he buys with the pekotim. We take a look at the Rashi, just a couple lines up from here. Lokeach mekabel kotim, im mochalo shemen stam, if oil was sold in an unstipulated fashion, yekabel mimenu shemen im kotim, the oil is going to be received by the purchaser together with the pekotim. The Gemara asks, v'hotanya, do we not have the following source that indicates to the contrary? Rabbi Yehuda omer, lo omru shemen ochur, Elo lemoicher bilvad. The shemen ochur is murky oil. The we'll say the loss in terms of murkiness is something that the mocher absorbs. Sharei lokeach mekabel olav lug umechza shmorim below pkotim. The purchaser accepts upon himself a, we'll say, a reduction of a lug and a half as a result of the shmorim. Therefore, the owner has to deliver pure oil below pkotim. And here we emphasize below pkotim. So that we see from here, contrary to what was suggested, namely, that the since the customer is accepting that the reduction, the subtraction of a lugumechza, he is entitled to receive pure oil without pkotim and without without shmor and without pkotim. Lo kashya. So we say there's no disagreement between these sources. Ha diyoyevle zuzi betishrei v'koshokil mine benison ki mido detishrei. One situation is where money was paid in Tishrei. Now, Tishrei is the season in which oil is sold cheap. In Tishrei, oil is still murky. And in a case like that, where the money is paid in Tishrei, and he's going to receive delivery, the Gemara said, because Shokil Minei Benison Kimida de Tishrei, that means in the form that it would have been in Tishrei, then we say that the lokeach, the purchaser, accepts the pkotim. We can take a look at Rashi, Kimida de Tishrei, across from here. Kishar hadomim shel Tishrei shu bezoil ustam shmonim akurim v'kibel olav pkotim. So the person is paying money in Tishrei, the low rate. He'll accept delivery in Nisan of the quantity of oil that he paid for at the low rate when he paid for it in Tishrei. Oh, in such a case then, he's going to be accepting the oil with the pkotim. The next, so that's what the source above that indicated the lokeach has to accept pkotim. The next situation, the situation in the second source where he does not accept pkotim, the Gemara goes on, ha diyoyev le zuzi benison, v'koshokil minei benison, Kimido de Nisan, where he paid for the oil in the at the high rate, in the Nisan rate, in the month of Nisan, the oils that are sold are, generally speaking, they're pure, they're mezukak. And purchasers in Nisan expect to receive pure oil. So if you paid in Nisan the high rate, and you're accepting delivery in Nisan in accordance with the value that you paid, you then expect to get pure oil. Rashi across from here says, "Ha d'shaku minei b'nisan kishar shel Nisan b'yoker." You paid for the oil at the high rate. The derech kashman in this mizukok b'nisan. It's normal for oils to be pure in Nisan. V'lokeach stam, v'mocher stam. People who purchase and people who sell in an unstipulated fashion, ein mochel mizukok. They're selling only pure oil. So in a case like that, where you pay the high rate and you're accepting delivery in that season in accordance with the amount you paid, then you would expect shemen without the pekatim. As we move on, we've arrived at a new Mishnah, and on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading, a triangle mark appears with Roman numerals 1 and 2. The Mishnah is then broken into two parts. The first part, Lo Yichado. The second part, Yichado. What are we referring to? The Shomer, who received something to watch, he defined and isolated a place for the item to be placed. That would be Yichadoi Mokoim. So either it's Lo Yichado, and a particular place was not specified, Yichado, or it was Shomer Shetiltel Pikadon. The Shomer moved around the item Vinishbara, and it broke. Mosai Chayev uMosai Potter. Under what circumstances would he be Chayev, the Shomer, obligated to compensate, and under what circumstances would he be exempt? We'll see in the Mishnah a number of variables that are added that we didn't mention in this in our introductory remarks. We also have a little chart that accompanies the Mishnah. Let us go over the chart before going into the words, so we'll appreciate the orderliness of the Mishnah by first looking at our chart. Running down the right hand side of the chart, you can see Lo Yichado. No specific place was defined for the placing of the entrusted item, and it fell mitoch yado, means it slipped out of the shomer's hands. The next entry underneath that says mishinicha. The item broke after the item was placed back in placed back where it was. If a place was not specified, we have two situations that we just mentioned. It slipped out of the shomer's hands, or it broke after it was placed back to rest. There are more factors. Going across the top of our chart, you see Litzorchai and Litzorcha. If the moving of the vessel was for the shomer's personal benefit, which is something he really shouldn't have done, but he moved it for his own personal benefit, versus moving it for the benefit of the vessel itself, for the welfare of the vessel. So, if he was moving it for his personal needs, and it slipped out of his hands, the shomer will have to compensate. If it broke after the shomer placed it down, even though he moved it for his own needs, he'll be exempt. If, under the same circumstances of Lo Yichado, and it slipped out of his hands, but he was moving it for the benefit of the vessel that was entrusted, he'd be exempt. And certainly, if it broke after he had placed it down, he would be exempt, because his initial moving of it was for the benefit of the item that was entrusted. The lower half of the chart has on it Yichadoi. A specific place was designated for the item to be stored, to be guarded. And in that case, the same examples appear. It fell out of the Shomer's hands and it broke after he placed it down. If it was Litzor Choy, if it was being moved for his own personal gain, then under both circumstances, whether it's Mitoch Yado or after he placed it down, he will be guilty. He'll have to compensate. And if it was for the benefit of the vessel, so he will be exempt, potter, in both cases, whether it slipped out of his hands or it was after it was placed down. Now the Mishnah. Hamafkid chovis etzel chavero. A barrel was entrusted by his friend, by a shomer. V'lo yichadoi lo bailim mokoim. And a specific place was not identified in the house of the shomer, where the, as Rashi says, the owner of the item did not request of the shomer a specific place to have it stored. V'tiltilo v'nishtabro, the shomer moved the item and it broke. Im mitoch yado nishbro, if it broke by slipping out of his hands, while it was in his hands, it slipped out. Litzor choy chayov, if the shomer is moving it for his own personal gain, he'll have to compensate. Litzor choy potter, if he was moving it for the benefit of the vessel and it broke, it slipped out of his hands, he'll be exempt. Im shenicho nishbara, if after he placed it back down it broke, bein litzor choy, bein litzor choy potter. Whether the initial moving had been for his own personal needs, and certainly if it was for the benefit of the vessel, there would be exemption. Rashi, on the last narrow line, at the end of the line, it says there, Litzor Cha, moving it for the benefit of the vessel, Shoyse B'mokum HaTurfo Krovo Lishtavir, it was in a dangerous location, was prone to breaking, or likely to break, so he moved it for the benefit of the vessel. Now, the Mishnah goes on, Yichadoi Lo Abaylim Mokoyim, the owner of the vessel requested of the shomer a specific place to have it stored. The tiltulov and ishbra, and the shomer moved it around and it broke. Vein mitoch yodoi uvein mishinicha. Whether it slipped out of his hands or even after it was placed down, it broke. The tzorchachayev, if his movement of it was for his own personal gain, he'll be obligated to compensate. The tzorcha potter, however, for the benefit of the vessel, the shomer will be exempt. It'll be exempt whether it slipped out of his hands or after it was placed down, it broke. Before we continue on in the Gemara, we glance in the margin, we have a Noseiah topic heading, which reads, Machloikas Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Kiva, a Tanaic disagreement between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva binyan ganav shiichzir agneva, regarding a thief that returns the stolen item. Ibo ino das bailim, does the owner have to be informed that it's being returned? Oisagi b'kach shesulim koima, or it's enough that the thief put it back where it originally was. The Gemara. Hamani, our Mishnah that said in the beginning that even though he moved it for his own purposes, when he places it back down, he is exempt. That approach is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Loboin and Das Bailim, that at the point of return of the item, you don't need the owner's awareness. So that even though he took it and for himself, it's like the act of a thief, took it for himself. The Mishnah, though, said that if it broke after he placed it down, in a situation of lo yichadol mokoyim, it broke after he placed it down, he's exempt. That reveals to us that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel. Desanya, Hagenev Telemin Eder, Veselaminakis, person stole a sheep from a flock or a coin from a pouch, Lamokum Shiganav Yachzir, from the place that it had been stolen, he shall return it. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel, and if after he returns it, something bad befell the item, it was ruined, broke, destroyed, he's exempt. By returning it, it's in effect returned to the domain of the owner like it was before he stole it. And the let's say his obligation as a shomer is restored. So that if you were a shomer who took it for your own purposes, so you acted like a thief, but you put it back, you returned it, you become a shomer once again, and you're thereby exempt for oinsim, for something uncontrolled that might have happened. You'd be exempt as a shomer would be exempt, even if you didn't tell the owner that you had taken it and put it back. So that's the approach of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, we continue at the top of the Mem Aleph. Rabbi Kiva says, Sorch das Bailim. Once you stole something, you become fully obligated, even if something happens to the item beyond your control. We call that oinus. You will have to pay for it. Even if you return it to where you took it from, you're still obligated even for oinus until you inform the owner that you returned it. According to Rabbi Kiva, return of a stolen item without the owner's awareness is not considered returning it. The Gemara asks, and we have a little diamond around the word E over here, and on the side under the Mivne heading, we call this Shlavei Biur Moni Masis. These are stages, when the diamond appears, they represent stages in trying to explain who the author of the Mishnah is. So who's the author? E Rabbi Shmuel, my Iria Lo Yichado. Why in the Reisha does it speak of the identification, non-specification of place for storage of item? Afilu yichadonami. Even if the place was specified, according to Rabbi Shmuel, once you put it back there, and something then happened, you would be exempt. And yet, the exemption, according to the Reisha of the Mishnah, seems to be because there was never a place specified for it. The Gemara says, you're right. Lo mibaya komar. The Mishnah is to be understood in the lo mibaya fashion. Lo mibaya means I don't have to tell you. Lo mibaya yichado. I don't have to tell you. It's obvious that if a specific place was specified, you would be exempt for that which befalls it after you returned it. The Makomo, you put it back in its place. You put it back where it's supposed to have been. That wipes the slate clean. So even though in the interim you may have taken it for your own purposes and acted like a thief, according to Rabbi Shmuel, putting it back in its designated place, certainly you would be exempt for any oinus afterwards. Ela afilo lo yichadoi. Here is what the Mishnah is mechadish. The point, the novel point of the Mishnah is, even if a specific place wasn't identified, wasn't specified, the lav mekomahu, putting it back down, you're not necessarily putting it in its place. Even in a case like that, lo boino das bailim, you don't need to inform the owner of your returning it. And just by your mere returning it,
you are restored to your original status of Shomer and exempt from Oinsim. So according to the Reisha of the Mishnah, once you put it back down and it breaks, you will always be exempt. That reflects the opinion of Rebbe Yishmael, that the mere returning it is enough. Amos Seifa. Well, we continue reading the Mishnah. It said, Yichadolol Abayim Bokan, the Tiltolov and Ishbra. A particular location was specified for the watching of the item. It was moved and then broke. Bein mitoch yodo, bein mishenicha. Whether it be slipping out of your hands or after you put it back down. Litzorcho chayav, litzorcho poter. If you had moved it for your personal needs, you acted like a thief, it then broke, you're obligated to compensate. By your merely returning it, you don't regain your original shomer status. You remain as a thief. Asan Rabbi Kiva. This approach reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Domar bo'ino das bailim. In order to regain your original status of being exempt from oinsim, you would have to inform the owner. And if you don't inform the owner of its return, even though you returned it, you're obligated to compensate even for oinsim. That is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara asks, "E Rabbi Akiva, if the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, my irichado, why speak about the obligation only if you specified a spot? If you're Rabbi Akiva, filo chadunami, even if no specification was made for the place it would be stored, you would be chayav." From the point that you took it for your own purposes, you're chayav, you're obligated to compensate. The Gemara answers, lo mibaya komar. The Mishnah is, the safe of the Mishnah is in the lo mibaya fashion. Lo mibaya, I don't have to tell you that you're obligated, lo yichadoi, the lav mekomahu. You put it down, but it's not in its right place. Didn't have a specified place, it's not its place. Elo afilu yichado nami, the mekomahu. But even in a case where a space was specified, and you put it back where it belongs, you're still chayav. The bo'inon, why? Bo'inon das bailim. You require the owner to be informed that it was returned. At this point, then, we have a Mishnah, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah seems to be have a dual author. The beginning, Rabbi Shmuel, was Sefer Rabbi Kiva. And the latter part of the Mishnah is all of a sudden authored by someone else. So the first approach in our Gemara is in. Yes, that is the nature of this Mishnah. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the first of a series of approaches to this Mishnah. Man de mitagim li chovis aliba de chatana. And anyone who can explain this Mishnah called Chovis, because the Mishnah opened up with the case of entrusting of a Chovis. Anyone who can explain this Mishnah as being authored by one Tana, Movlano Mone Basre Lebe Masuta, I will act as a servant to that individual and carry his money, his vessels, to the bathhouse. In other words, I will act in the service as a servant would, and carry his towel and his change of clothing and whatever is needed for people that go to Bemas, to bathhouses, in exchange for them having explained this Mishnah as being authored by one Tana, one author. As we go on, another triangle appears, and on the side we should note, we have a Mivneh, structural note, that the triangles here are tshuvos, are answers, responses, L'shei L'moni Mas Nisim, who's the author of the Mishnah. The first approach was Rabbi Yochanan's approach. The author is split, or it's a dual authorship. Rabbi Shmuel authored the Reisha, and Rabbi Akiva authors the Seifa. Tshuvos number 2 and 3, Boim Lahamid HaMishnah Kechad Tana. Approaches 2 and 3 in our Gemara Our approach is to set up the Mishnah in accordance with one opinion. Why then in the Sefer does it say that if a place was specified, if you took it initially for your own purposes and put it back there and it broke, would he be guilty? Structurally, we mentioned there were answers 2 and 3, but do make note that answer 2 is broken into parts Aleph and Beis. You'll have two opinions as to what Rav said. Both Rav Yankiv Bar Abba and Rav Nosson Bar Abba might very well have been brothers. Rav Yankiv and Rav Nosson, the children of Rabbi Abba, explained, I should say, in the presence of Rav, not in the name of Rav, in the presence of Rav, their approaches. So now we look in the Gemara. We should take a note. We do have another starred note on the other margin, which reads: Lefi Tshuvas 2 and 3, Lekichas Hapikodon Im Kavonos Sheish Lahem Din Gezel. You'll see the taking of the item with intentions that are related to theft intentions. Kolecho Lefi Pirusho Mechayev Hachzor Amal Yisa Vainu Sheal Zirena LeMekayma. When an item was taken with, we'll say, with theft intentions, Pasuk says, Ve'eshiv is like Zela Shogozal. Ve'eshiv means you shall return. And you'll see the expression, if you look in Rashi, Hashovim Al Yisa, a full-fledged return. And a full-fledged return would entail informing the owner of its being returned. Now, with those ideas being thrown out into the atmosphere, we now continue with the Gemara. Rabbi Yankiv Bar Abba, I should say Tirgumar Rabbi Yankiv Bar Abba, Kameh Derav. The Mishnah can be explained as being authored by one author, and Rabbi Yankiv told this to Rav Shenotlo Amanas Legoizlo, where the Shomer took it with the intention of stealing it. Tirgumar Rav Nosson Bar Abba, Kameh Derav, Shenotlo Amanas Lishlov Bayad. The Shomer took it with the purpose of using it for his personal benefit. What's the difference between taking it almanas legoizla or taking it almanas leshloch boyad? What's the point of disagreement? Does the personal use on the part of a Shomer, which we call shlichus yad, which obligates him even to compensate for einus, does that require that the item suffer some kind of loss as well? Or is the mere intention and use of it, even without chisaron, that constitutes a form of theft? We're going to be more detailed as we go over this Gemara again. But this time, we go through the Rashi. We'll start with Rashi, 4 lines from the top. Tirgumo Rav Yankiv, Teteku Kulo Kechatano, Ubetrei Taimi. Rav Yankiv explains the Mishnah in a way that one author is behind it, with 2 different circumstances. Reisha, Shechziru L'Mekoimo. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, which spoke about Lo Yichad Alo Mokom, is in effect where it was returned to its spot. How can you say it was returned to its spot when you didn't specify any location? The Chol Mokom, Shechziru Mekomahi. In fact, wherever you put it back, that's its place. The Chol Lo Yichad Alo Mokom. As a result of the very fact that you did not specify any specific place, wherever you put it back is considered putting back in its place. And the Seifa of the Mishnah, which spoke about Yichad Olamokom, is speaking about a circumstance where you didn't put it back in its specified place. You put it back in a wrong location.
Kidemasaibimaskona, as will appear later at the end of the discussion, the ha de maskina besyuma, that which we see 17 lines up from the bottom of this omid, where it says Viseifa Shinicha Bemokim Shena Makoma, Atirtsosa de Kulukoi, that expression that he put it back in a place that's not its specific location, is an explanation that applies to all of the triangles that we see under 2 and 3. Atirtsosa de Kulukoi, Adar Rav Yankiv, Adar Rav Nosson, Vadar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, we haven't read yet. Umishum dinicha chutz l'mekoyma, and since in the Seifa he put it back in a place that's not its proper location, lo havya chazor, it's not considered as if it was restored to its point. Gagon shenot l'mitchila menas l'gozla, and where he took it initially with the intention of stealing. Vahainu l'tzorchoy demasnisen. The word l'tzorchoy, you picked it up for your own purposes, is intended to convey the idea of theft. If it were for mere borrowing purposes and temporary usage, kevon delav gzela hu, since that doesn't constitute theft, sagi lo bahashova kol dehu, then any return is enough. V'chol mokum shenicha poter boinsin, and wherever you put it down, you would be exempt from onsin. Avo mishum de gzulo havoi. But since our Mishnah refers to a theft intention, and in the Torah, when it comes to theft, you see the word veheshiv, that it shall be returned. And in the Seifa, where he put it back in a spot that wasn't specified by the owner, lo havya hashava, it doesn't constitute return. And therefore, in the case of Litzorchai, where you had taken it with stealing intentions, even after you put it down, you bear obligation, you bear guilt, even for Oinus. We continue in the Rashi. V'Ravinosan Tirgama Dafilu Lo Notla Almanas Ligozla El Almanas Lishloach Bo Yad V'Litoil Miktsasa V'Lo Notal. Rav Nosson goes further and says, even if you didn't take it with stealing intentions, but rather for the purpose of using it for your own benefit and to take a little bit of it, and you didn't, but those were your intentions. Afilu hachi komo lebu shusei kula. Even so, even then, it's considered in your domain, in your obligation. Vahavia lo gzela, and it's like theft. Ubaya hashova, and it requires proper return. Uvamokim shena mekayim alav hashova, and putting it back in a spot that's not its designated location when such had been designated, that's not considered return. Rashi continues with a structural note, that is, v'rav sheshes lo shovik de l'saimu l'tritzayu v'askif rav sheshes, which we haven't read yet in the Gemara. He doesn't allow them to finish off what they want to say, and asks the askif midi not lokotani, and asks what he asks when we see that in Gemara. Does it use the word not lo? Doesn't. Umihu siyuma de milsa de maskana, but it should be pointed out that the end of what Rav Yankiv and Rav Nosson want to tell you is the following. V'seifa shinicha b'mokum shena makoma. That statement that the Seifa is talking about the return of the item to a wrong location, that's an explanation that all of these opinions rely upon. So that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there's one author, but the Reisha is talking about the restoration of the item to a proper location. And that's a function of lo yichad alo makom, since no specific location was specified. Every place is its right place, and the seifa was a restoration of the item to a wrong place.
namely a place other than that which was specified, and that that entails or that then obligates the shomer even for oinsim, like you would a thief. What was the difference between Rav Yankiv's approach, Rav Yankiv Bar Abba versus Rav Nosson Bar Abba? So that is what we left off with in the Gemara. So if we go back to the Gemara, where it asks, just the line after the triangle where you see Rav Nosson Bar Abba, the end of the line, we had read this, B'maikom ifli, what's the point of difference between Rav Yankiv and Rav Nosson? B'shlichus yad tzrichi chesaron. The shlichus yad, which is the wrongful use of an item by a shomer, does in, and if he does so, if he violates shlichus yad, it says in the Torah, by the way, that a Bailey, when he swears to gain innocence or gain exemption, he has to say that I lo shalachti b'yad, I didn't use it for my own purposes. If he did, he then chayev and oinsim. Does the use of it in that context of shlichus yad, in order to become chayev and oinsim, does it require some diminishing of the item used, the watched item, the item that was entrusted? Man de Omar legoizlo. Rav Yankiv, who said that he took it with stealing intentions, Kasavar, he is of the opinion, in order to be chayiv, to be guilty for the offense of shlichus yad, and hence be guilty even for einsin, Kasavar shlichus yad tzrichi chesaron. In order to be in violation of shlichus yad, the item would have to be physically diminished. And if not, so then he wouldn't be chayev in onsin. Uman domer l'shlach b'yad, Rabbi Nosson, who said he picked it up with the intention of l'shlach b'yad and didn't use the word l'gozla, kosovar shlichus yad ein tzrichi chesaron. In order to be guilty of shlichus yad, even without the item being diminished, he becomes involved in the, or becomes obligated to compensate even for onsin. The Gemara asks, "Maskif lo Rav Sheshes, meaning not law katani." Rav Sheshes says, "You don't see the word not law in the Mishnah. Tiltala katani. The Mishnah uses the expression tiltala. He moved it. Not law would mean he took it with the intention of, let's say, a gaining acquisition. Tiltala simply means a simple movement of the item." Therefore, Elo Omer Rav Sheshes, Hocha B'mayaskinon, what is the Mishnah speaking of? Kegon Shetiltala Lehavila Goizolos. He moved the Chavis for the purpose of it serving as, we'll say, a ladder for birds to get into a bird coop. Bird coops were built on stilts, they were high. The bird couldn't jump from the ground level into the bird coop. The Goizolos are the young birds. So what they would do is they hop onto a barrel, and then from that into the bird coop. In this case, we have someone that was entrusted with watching a barrel, and he moves the barrel for this purpose, because of our sheol shalom idaz gazlan huove v'kulo Rabbi Shmuel he. He's of the facetious of the opinion that borrowing something without receiving permission to do so makes one like a thief. And that enables us to understand, once again, where the onus obligation fits in. And the entire Mishnah is to be understood like Rabbi Shmuel. And what was Shitas Rabbi Shmuel? That the return of an item doesn't require Das Bailam. The Seifa of the Mishnah that spoke about Yichada b'Mokim, Shenicha b'Mokim Shena Makoma, you put it back in a spot that is not its right location, and therefore it's not considered as if you ever put it back. But if you put it back in a proper place, you don't need Das Bailam. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and with everything we have said, we say that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shmuel, and the Reisha was speaking about it's the item being replaced in an acceptable location. Therefore, even without Das Bailim, you regain your status of Shomer and are Potter from Onsen. In the Seifa, you put it back in the wrong place. Therefore, you don't, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't regain your status of Shomer, but remain a thief, and therefore you are going to be Chayev for Oinsim. And we saw in the Seifa whether you had taken it initially for your own purposes, I should say, in the Seifa where you took it for your own purposes, whether it fell out of your hands or after you put it down, you are Chayev. The Gemara goes on with Rabbi Yochanan's response, though, because he was, you notice, the first triangle, who says, I don't see one author. I see only two authors here. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, he nicha b'mekoimo mashma. In the Seifa of the Mishnah, it said, yichado lamokim, etc. Bein mitoch yado ubein mishehi nicha. It implied that it was put back in its proper location, and hence Rabbi Yochanan could not explain the Seifa as being put back in a wrongful location, which enabled the other opinions to explain the Mishnah as reflecting the one opinion throughout. Rabbi Yochanan, as we just said, doesn't learn like that, and in the Seifa he was putting it back in its proper location. And still, we saw that the Letzorcho is Chayev, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan came up with the idea that the Seifa is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, that said that in order to regain exemption from Onsen, you need Das Bailim. You need to have informed the owner of its return, and that you didn't do. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You may want to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.